Now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time to chinwag with Cozzy.
And at 5 to 10, my chinwag guest this morning, I've been looking forward to having a chat with him, is Mark Kavanagh. Kav, good morning, how are you?
Morning, Sean, how are you doing?
Mate, I've got the dog's disease, so you've got to be kind to me this morning and look after me.
Oh, well, he was down here and got blown off his chain this morning. It's windy down here.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. He said it was shocking.
Blew him clean off the chain.
Now, you just have the knack of finding a good horse, and it looks like you found another beauty in Chivalry. Won the McNeil Stakes the other day at Caulfield and looked like a real smart horse, Mark.
Yeah, look, there's a long way to go, but certainly it did look pretty good the other day.
What pleased you most about the run the other day?
Oh, well, that he's certainly... Look, when you're a trainer and you get a good horse that sort of has, when he races at two and he's got a sign over his head that says, wait till line three, look out, yeah. And he came back the way he did, you sort of get a bit excited.
Now, you picked him up in the Magic Millions?
Yep.
280, so I suppose it's not a lot of money for horses racing like that, is it?
Well, no, but I mean, in saying that, I bought a fair few streetcars that year, and I built, he's the best of them so far. But I did go pretty strong on them all over, from New Zealand through to Sydney and everywhere.
You've done that a bit where you like a sire, you tend to stick to them, don't you? And you're one of the first to latch onto the Fastnet Rocks, and you've had a lot of success with the street cries.
Well, yeah, best two street cries in Australia sort of come out of my yard, and certainly the best Fastnet Rock billies come out of my yard. So the breeds have been excellent to me.
Where would he go to now? You take him to the Caulfield Guineas?
Yeah. I don't know which avenue he'll take. He'll go around to Flemington on Saturday. I don't know which avenue he'll take to go to that Caulfield Guineas, but certainly that's going to be where he's headed.
Mark, I suppose the next question is he the sort of horse who would get a Derby distance either this spring or in the autumn?
I wouldn't believe if he was going to that we were ever going to find out anything like that. I don't reckon I'll be pushing him that far. I mean, he'll probably go to a mile and maybe push to 2,000 metres later on, but I don't think we're ever going to find out whether he's a Derby horse or not. I mean, the funny part about it is Ubigotchi ran second in a Derby, and Shocking actually ran second in the Queensland Derby, but, this bloke, I don't see him sort of heading that way.
You had a nice fast-end rock filly around the valley called Pick and Time. Looked probably a little bit like, and I may be wrong, it's actually probably almost needed more ground. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, look, she needed more ground. She got back a bit and, Glenn opened her up just before the turn. She wobbled a bit on the turn, but once she balanced up, she finished off late and she looks like, she's going to need longer.
Now, you can always come up and be positive. You've always got a good positive outlook. You've had a few kicks in the guts along the way. Maldivian, that Caulfield Cup day, and that was just, you could see the emotion on your face, heartbreaking, but he went up in the stalls and nicked his head.
Yeah, look, it's nice of you to mention that, Sean. I sort of didn't nominate anything for the Caulfield Cup this year, so no one would sort of remind me of that. Every year, everybody wants to talk about that. That's just unfortunate, but, Maldivian has healed up. He lives out at my farm, and he's a good pet right now and a good friend, but certainly, it's been a long journey in racing, but that day was certainly pretty character-building. I can give you the tip.
Well, I got a bit of inside info from a gentleman in authority who said they were in total admiration of the way you handled the situation.
Well, I couldn't say anything wrong because I couldn't speak. I was without speech.
No, on the day and afterwards, they gave you a 10 out of 10.
Not hard not to speak when you're speechless.
Another morning where you must have gone and kicked the cat. I think about Chamberlain Warrior, Derby morning. Get up, he's got a temperature. You had to pull him out.
Oh, God, this is a conversation, isn't it?
You won't let us start bagging your clothes.
Yeah, well, this is a great conversation. Look, what happened there was, we come to work and Chamberlain Warrior is a favourite for the Derby. And he had a temperature and had to be scratched, you see. So, look, we also had Shocking in the Lexus in the Cup that year.
I know that.
Anyway, Shocker wins the Lexus. So a microphone in my face and say, you know, not congratulations, are you having fun today? I said, does this make up for what happened with Shyamalan Warrior? I said, making it hard.
It just one mate said to me, he said, you must have tough hands, because he said when Maldivian won the Cox fight, he's never seen a bloke punch a running rail as hard in your life. He said, you must have calluses on your claws because you hit the rail that hard.
Well, yeah. Look, there's no sense having racehorses and training them unless you get excited. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You've got to understand that there's not a racing person, although I was a bit crazy that day, though, didn't wish that they were sort of right next door and it was their horse.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I mean, that's what we all aim for. And, you know, if you come from as far back as I come from and those sort of things happen, I make no apologies for the excitement.
Which has been the most satisfying winner, I suppose, the one that's given you the biggest thrill? You've gone home, the race is the happiest. Is it the Melbourne Cup, the Cox Plate? Was it getting Atlantic Jewel back to the races? I mean, which win gave you the most satisfaction?
Ah, look, every win is relief and satisfaction. It's hard to say, but I'll say there is no other race that compares with the Melbourne Cup. I mean, we grew up as kids listening to it in the classroom at school, and, you know, it's an Australian icon. Mm. That's the race for Australians. I mean, there's, you know, Cox Plate's terrific and all of that stuff, but there's no other race in Australia than the Melbourne Cup.
You grew up next to Mark Cummings' stables, I think, in Adelaide, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe rode and inverted commas 3 Melbourne Cup winners you can put on your CV. Light fingers, Galilean, red-handed.
Home from school, Sean. Around the block when they let him.
Yeah.
From school, that's about it. But yeah, and had a Melbourne Cup winner myself. I've never rode him there, yeah. So I could have ridden 4.
So there you go. It's something you get. It'd be a good trivia question at the trivia nights.
That's it. It would be, actually. Yeah.
Did you? What did you take from sort of living next door to Bart? Were you at the age where you learnt anything at that time, or was it just the interest?
I must have. I mean, look, you pick up little things and you work out about, well, naturally enough, we used to sit in there and look at the boys, mix the feeds and all of that stuff, and you learn that, and you learn how to look after horses or whatever. But actually, the little things that we must have learned is because everybody in the stable was a punter, you see, and they would all, you know, and they would all be working on and that horse will have to win the Werribee Cup to get into the Caulfield Cup. And, I've been watching Bart, and he's been pretty happy with that horse. And so, you know, we'll put the money on in the Werribee Cup sort of thing. And look, I noticed in those days that most of the time, I mean, they would get up 3-4 weeks before the cup. Everyone would start peaking their horses and getting them ready. And, I mean, in those days there was a Ballarat, the Bendigo Cup, before the Melbourne Cup, and they all qualified you and give you a free walk in, and you could get into a Melbourne Cup with 7 stone. I mean, you're lucky to get into a Melbourne Cup now with about 8 stone 5, which is 54, 55 kilos.
All changed. Can you hang 30 seconds for me? It's got a dog race from New Zealand. And we'll come back. Mark Cavanagh, my special guest this morning, chin wagging.
Down Gladys Emmanuel, green light. Here comes the bunny. Ready. And racing coming out, running centre field there is Gladys Emmanuel, but quickly hit it off by Round the Outside. Our Last Explorer, another Fortune's up there, also trying to get around them. Zara Moon, Corbin Steves back to the rail and starting to rail quickly through. Further back, Cherie and the Tailenders with Darcy Brasco and Berno on the corner. Corbin Steves in front's going to get away and score. Another Fortune, pretty green, but it'll get to second again today in front of Last Explorer. Followed back there on crossing, Darcy Brasco hitting the line well with Cherie. Further back, Gladys Emmanuel, Zara Moon, and Burn Over Last of a Min.
167, then 1 Corborn Steve, 260, 146, another Fortune, 157, Last Explorer, 190. Chin wagging with Mark Cavanagh this morning. And Cav, it's well documented. You spent time as a jumps jockey. Did you ride on the flat before you went over the jumps?
No.
Just straight to the jumps?
Straight to the jumps. I rode for a month in Alice Springs on the flat over Christmas sometime. They rang me up and asked me to go up there and fill in while all the jockeys sort of went away for Christmas. And I rode up there on the flat, but that was really the only flat riding I did.
That would have been an experience at the Alice Springs.
Mate, I tell you, the day I learnt the most was the day I rode in a race with Stephen Arnold's mother and his father.
Yeah.
And there was only five runners, and I learnt a fair bit that day. I'll give you the tip.
What did you take away from that race?
Well, the Arnold family's a fierce competitor, and Stephen's a credit to those two great horse pairs.
Lucky to walk away with your life, were you?
No, it was a great experience, and you meet, you know, lifelong friends when you're travelling around like that.
Yeah. Now, the jumps, a lot of blokes have a crack at it and bail out real quick, but you rode nearly 100 winners over the battens.
Yeah, look, I loved being a jumps. You know, I suppose my performance would be considered satisfactory pass mark, but I really quite enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, everybody saw me as a country jumps jockey, but they didn't sort of see me as a young trainer learning his trade sort of thing. So, you know, I've got big raps for the jumps. I mean, let's face it, if it wasn't for jumps racing, I wouldn't be sitting here at Flemington right now.
Now, Cav, from the jumps to the ranks of a trainer, a lot try that, and not a lot make a successful transition. You did, though. It must have been hard kicking off.
Yeah, look, it was hard kicking off, and whatever you do in life, I mean, any trainer will tell you the hardest thing ever for a racehorse trainer is to gain supply. And, you know, certainly, I mean, supply was hard to get, but, I mean, I started off trained at Mount Gambier, and we did, you know, get a few horses to train, and I used to go away and buy a few and got things rolling like that.
It's interesting, a young local journalist spoke to you one day, and I love the quote. You were walking through the stables, and I think you got to Atlantic Jewel, and you pointed to her and said, "See this? This is dreams, money, and headaches."
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's all of that. I mean, you know, it's quite draining to have a champion like that on the premises, because every minute of the day you're concerned that actually, you know, what inevitably happens. She just went too fast for her own good, and although that's, you know, somewhat unbelievable, and many people would say, well, that just never happened. Well, that's actually what did happen. She was just too fast for her own good, and she could shy at, 11 or 10 and a half to the furlong, and that's unfortunately what she could do on the track.
It must have been quite stressful getting her back.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, every where you go is stressful if there's a pot of gold at the end of that. They give them away pretty quick, you know. They don't fall out the sky, Sean.
Now, Mark, I've got to ask, of all the race photos you may or may not have hanging up at home, I want to know if there's one of a certain horse and his name's Red Hope.
I just looked through the cupboard the other day, right?
Yeah.
And there he is sitting there looking at me, you see. And believe it or not, there's a jockey that rode him for me at Mooney Valley called Lincoln Coffee.
Cup of coffee,
who had ridden 99 winners in Western Australia and still claimed 3 when he walked into Melbourne. And I thought, well, that'll do me. I threw him on, I think he'd been here a week. I threw him on Red Hope, and he claimed. He steered him, and he won on a wet track at the Valley.
Now, was he a good kickoff horse for you?
Yeah, he was fantastic. He came to me from the late, great George Hanlon, and, you know, he was just what, you know, dreams are made of. At that time, I had a big property, a big mortgage, a fast horse that was crazy and couldn't be city trained, who was nearly weighted out of Adelaide. And not quite perfect for Melbourne. So I lived halfway in between, and everything sort of fitted into place, and I got him going in the Pine Forest. And, I mean, he won a lot of races for us guys and put us really on the map.
Are you going to hang the photo up on the wall?
Got it on the wall.
Oh, it's there, is it? There he is. You've also been quoted as saying, and I love this one, you said, "I'm boring, I'm a family man, and where my heart must leave, and I don't take for granted where I am." Is that a fair assessment of you?
Yeah. I am boring. Go home early every night. I mean, you know, I can brag that there's not many places I can't get a table in a restaurant, but that's because I leave by up at 7 and go into bed. I have no hobbies. I'm just a racing, working tragic.
Now, I love the fact, and this probably explains, you worked at one stage, I believe, in an upmarket menswear store, which explains why at the races you look like Armani and I look like Salvation Armani.
You're
Yves Saint Laurent, I'm Brotherhood of Saint Laurent.
I was desperate to be a jockey, and I was a little bit big, and my mother talked me into getting a job in a shop, and it was a menswear shop, and I quite enjoyed it for a fair while, and learned a lot about sartorial splendour, we'll call it, Sean.
Yeah.
And about tailoring and suits and things like that. But naturally, same old story with racing. You can check it any time you like, but you can never leave. And I came back.
There you go, back to the races. Chivalry, at this stage in its early doors, what can you compare into any of the others you've had, Mark? Is there one you'd say at this stage and at one of the others at the same stage you compare him to? A Maldivian, a Shocking?
A couple of guys came here this morning and tried to compare him with a couple of my other old horses. Look, he has the only thing you really can compare him with is a similar race pattern to who we got to, which, would inevitably cost you races sooner or later. I mean, look, Maldivian, he would get up on the pace and make his own luck, but it was inevitable when you have a horse like Chivalry or Who We Got You or Divine Madonna, that's a back marker that they just can't win every week. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to complain and I'm not going to trade him for anyone around at the time, but that's when they're back markers, that's always a situation you've got to be aware of.
You just mentioned one mare there and I was going to ask about her. She did a lot of good for you as well, Divine Madonna. She was one who got
she's
the name
hanging
up
on
there.
The wall here too, Sean. Don't worry about that. There's an oil painting of her here. She's looking at me.
Yeah, she did a lot of good for you, didn't she?
Well, she's a wonderful horse, and she won a lot of races and four Group Ones, and she was certainly a great advertisement for the stable. And let's face it, she won a Group One in Melbourne. She won the Emirates before I actually lived here. I was still working hard to try and get stables at Flemington, and when they woke up and shook the hand when she went past the post of the Emirates, I said, well, does that mean I can have stables at Flemington now? And they said, oh, well, certainly, I suppose it helps,
Gives you a bit of a leg in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gave me a leg in.
Super cool. What are you aiming him at this prep?
He'll go Cox Plate sort of McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
He's progressing all right. It's not going too bad, really. He just hasn't raced for a while and just needs a couple of runs to bring him back into shape.
And is there anything lurking in the background there I haven't mentioned that we should perhaps put $5 aside for later on in the spring?
Well, look, you just... out the back here, I thought I had a really good horse here.
Mm.
And I took him to Warwickville for a maiden with plenty of hope and came home with a sore jaw and no money on Sunday. He got done a nostril and I think it was 7 lengths to the third horse.
Oh, no.
We've just got to wait and see, but I don't think there's too much more out the back that we can just pull out of nowhere.
All right, so perhaps Pick and Time and Chivalry, the two we hitch our wagons to for the spring. And Super
Well,
cool.
With all due respect, I don't think there's too much wrong with the one that got beat on Sunday at Warwick-Nabil. Wyatt Hunter, I don't think there's too much wrong with him either. I mean, so, we just got to wait and see how far they go and what they measure up to, because there certainly is a lot of horses, especially one that I didn't expect to see at Wangaratta, on Sunday. So, they're coming there from everywhere. And you got to look around now, the maidens on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays now are just ridiculously strong. They're all sort of Group 3 races.
They are tough, aren't they? You look at the old days of going there and getting an easy killer gone.
Yeah, that's over, I think, until sort of November now.
Mm. Cav, great to catch up and have a chin wag with you. I've been looking forward to it for a while. You're one of the great characters of racing. Always have a laugh and always look on the bright side, as you say. Yeah, always look on the positive.
Well, that's it, I mean, it was a long drive home from the races on Sunday, but certainly, we looked in the back and we've still got a pretty good horse there. So, you know, that was just my first initiation to Wangaratta.
Well, let's hope the next trip back, you want to stay the weekend instead of burn the place down.
Yeah, I can think of it. It'll be a really great saying in the Travelodge at Wangaratta. It'll be a really good weekend.
Good on you. All the best. Great to catch up this morning. Good on you, Mark. Talk to you soon.
Okay, see you, Sean.
Mark Kavanagh there, my Chinwag guest this morning. I said I've been looking forward to it for a while. He's one of the great characters.